I was hoping that one of our senior advisors would be here this morning, but I know one is traveling out of the state and one's traveling back home. Deacon Poole is traveling back from South Carolina, and Ollie's going to Georgia. And the reason that I was hoping one of them would be here is because they know this preacher of the hour, Reverend Branch, very well, as he was raised here in Shiloh. I know Reverend Branch from a very personal way. My 26-year-old daughter was being blessed at home, and Reverend Branch lived down the street, and I thought it was wise to call the church and say, do you mind, Reverend Woodson, if Reverend Branch comes to my home to bless my child? And graciously, Reverend Woodson said so. In the beauty of that, a little tragic thing happened. My mother had a stroke that day, and I was so glad to have Reverend Branch there. We're blessing my six-month-old little girl, who's still apple of my eye after 26 years. Drives me crazy, but that's my baby. And I left to be with my mother at the hospital as the ambulance carried out. But Reverend Branch stayed there, stayed with my family, carried them through it, and I'm ever so grateful for him, to him for that, and it's something I'll never forget. My little girl only knew her grandmother for 6 months, but we always say the spirit of my mom is in her. Rachel's a piece of work, in a good way, in a good way. But without further ado, I think we have a song coming first, Aaron. Okay, without further ado, Reverend Ronald Branch, if we all just give him a praise offering as he becomes to the altar.
Good morning, Shiloh. God is an awesome, awesome God, and he's a mighty good God. I thank you, Deacon Thomas, for that introduction, and you ran my mind back a long time ago. I still remember that. And I was just doing, as I often tell folk, I was just doing what God would have me to do. It's always good to come back to where I was birthed as a preacher. I remember many, many years ago under the tutelage of Pastor Woodson, and I sat right beside in that chair where Deacon Revelle is sitting, and went down in the study many times to be mentored by Pastor Woodson, and now Pastor Armstrong has the charge, and we honor him this morning as God's under shepherd for this great church. I look out, I see some new faces, and I see some familiar faces. I'm not going to say older faces, but God is yet able, and we praise him for that. Brother Thomas was talking about his daughter being 26, my daughter 27 now, so God is able. I thought the men's chorus was gonna sing something, so they don't like put me on the spot, Brother Sam. How many of y'all know that God is able? Anybody in here ever been through any storms in their life? Anybody has ever had the devil tell you that he was gonna tear you down? But God, Deacon G, had a way of building you up. And the only way that you can make it through what you've been through is that God had you anchored. Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within
is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely through that blessed place he has prepared. Lord, have mercy. But if the storms don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing in my life, shallow my soul, oh, has been anchored in the Lord. I realize that sometimes in this life you're gonna be tossed by the winds and the currents that seem so fierce, but y'all know what? In the Word of God, I've got an anchor. You know what? It keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storms don't cease, and just in case the winds, they keep on blowing in my life, oh, my soul, deep down my soul, been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. My soul been anchored. My soul been anchored. My soul been anchored. My soul been anchored. The billows may roar, the breakers may dash, I would not sway because he hold me fast. So dark today, clouds in the sky, I know it's alright, 'cause Jesus is mine. Said my soul my soul, my soul, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I know somebody been through some storms in their life. Huh? But you couldn't see your way through. But while you were pressing your way, Lord have mercy. I was telling my wife the other week, we were talking about when we were coming up here. I said, baby, I remember many years ago when I first started preaching, and they gave me the title of the 8 o'clock preacher. Am I right, Deacon G? They gave me, am I right, Brother Floyd? Whenever Deacon Humphreys and those that have gone on to try eternity, Sister Rodney, they called me the 8 o'clock preacher. And I think it was because every Sunday morning I was always here before 8 o'clock. And if Reverend Woodson was here, he said, well, Brother Branch, I need you to go ahead on. And I was always ready. 8 o'clock preacher. And I'm so glad that the 8 o'clock preacher back today. Amen. If you brought your Bibles with you, and I trust that you did, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Beginning at that 5th verse. If you have it, won't you say amen? Amen. For we preach not ourselves, beginning at that 5th verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to focus in on that 7th verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. I want to use for a thought this morning, I just want to use one word. I want to talk about but. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to tell us about but. And I'm not talking about that secular song some years ago, Help Me Somebody. Because you see, God has removed us from there. Of all the words that are situated between the celebrated covers of Webster's unabridged dictionary, of all of the lifetime club members of Roger's thesaurus, of of all of the words that are so ably articulated or so inexpertly articulated, of all of the single and multi-syllabic words we pronounce and more frequently mispronounce, of all of the three and four letter words that we use and some that we positively should not use. And for clarity's sake, let me just say Amsterdam and Hoover Dam. Manners the first part of both words. Are y'all with me now? There is not a more demeaning and unpredictable word than the three-letter word, but. There's no other word in the corporate confines of the English language that can single-handedly metamorphosize and mess up the meaning of that which is written or said. No other alphabetic combination can effortlessly undress and undo the synchronous stroll of a wagon train of words. No other clan of consonants or busload of vowels can brutally debilitate an unsuspecting union of utter. Come on, help me here. No other limousine of letters can pile up the progression of a promising palatable phrase. No other bulldozer of breath can instantaneously bring down a building of benevolent words as can the word but. The word but, when connected to the caboose of a phrase, puts the train in reverse motion, sends the meaning of that particular phrase in the opposite direction. The word but, when put or positioned in the middle or betwixt two families of sentences, begins to create a family feud. And a feud between the components of the first sentence and that of the second sentence. Right. And the word but is an instigator. Y'all better help me here. The word but, when put in the back seat of a carload of words, acts just like a back seat driver. Doesn't agree with what the front seat says and does. The word but, when thrown stupidly out of someone's mouth, is like an unexpected Mike Tyson uppercut. Knocks out the well-intended meaning of any good sentence. The word but, when piecing together two sentences, destroys the piece. Cuts into paper doll-like pieces, piece by piece, the serenity of the next door neighbor sentences. Like butter on a hot knife, the word but melts away any traces of good intention already spoken. The word but is a negative, no good, nasty, naughty, and notorious word. And we ought to eliminate it, we ought to omit it, we ought to postpone the use of the word but. Talking to worldly people who always season their sentences with the word but. Just like talking to the whirlwind. Words wasted as surely as cease and desist commands shouted into a Category 5 hurricane. So shallow I come to today to tell you we ought to be careful how we condescendingly use the word but in our everyday vernacular. And comments about each other. You see, but is a negative word. And it's negative-minded people who always spit out the word but. They're there. Help me, Holy Ghost. There are people lurking within the confines and corridors of the church. Yeah. I ain't talking about Shiloh. I'm just talking about who I'm talking about. Folk lurking within the confines of the church whose words are so deceptive that these people should be done up like food packages with the ingredients clearly labeled. Backstabbers and silver-tongued saints. They have a grudge against life. Grudge against everything. Do I have a witness this morning? Here in this pericope of scripture, the apostle in the foregoing chapter had been magnifying his office, considering the excellency or glory of the gospel which he had been preaching about. And now in this chapter, his design is to vindicate the ministry from the accusations of false teachers who charged them as deceitful workers and endeavored to prejudice the minds of the people against the disciples on the account of their sufferings. But Paul tells them that therefore how they believed, how they showed their value for their offices as ministers of the gospel. They weren't puffed up with pride, but spurred on to great diligence. Paul says, seeing that we have this ministry, we are so much distinguished and dignified. We don't take state upon ourselves nor indulge in idleness. But we are excited and we are happy just to be doing the Lord's work. We are glad to be doing the Lord's work because serving the Lord, it's going to pay off after a while. And Paul goes on to say, and to let us know that even though this ministry is a difficult labor, we must not stop, we must not desist from carrying out the proliferation of God's gospel. Paul declares that we must persevere when the forces of criticism and skepticism is all around us, because it's the mercy and the grace of God that keeps us running on to see what the end's going to be, because 99 Ollie and a half just won't do. He lets us know that we are persecuted by men, pursued with hatred and violence from place to place as men not worthy to live, but we are not forsaken of God. You see, you might be forsaken by your family. You might be left by your friends, and folk might even talk about you and persecute you. Even your enemies will try to do things to knock you down. But I'm so glad today, Shiloh, that the God we serve is not out of business. We because we serve a God that is able, he will never leave you nor forsake you. We are dejected sometimes, we are cast down. The enemy might try to think, even thinks that he might prevail, and our spirits begin to fail us. And there might even be some fear within some of us, as well as fighting without, but we are yet not destroyed. In my 28 years of preaching that I started out here years ago, I have discovered that most of the trouble in the church is caused or stirred up by ignorant, educated people. I've discovered that most of the trouble in the church is caused or stirred up by ignorant, educated people. Can I tell y'all about that? Those who think they know everything about everything. I hear you thinking, well, how can an educated person be ignorant? Ignorant simply means that you don't have knowledge. I don't care how much learning you have. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have plastered
on your wall. It doesn't make no difference if you can speak fluently in 5 or 6 different languages. I can speak 4. Huh? You may be able to recite Shakespeare, Hamlet, or portions of Pilgrim's Progress. Yeah, it doesn't matter how many who's who you're in, what's what you're in. If you don't have any Jesus, you don't have any knowledge. Huh? Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we've been coasting along right now in low gear. But now let me push the throttle to high. And move on along. Can I do that? I said just now is educated people, the ones who are stuck on their degrees and stuck on themselves, who cause most of the church's problems. They are the ones who have obtained their BA degrees. And by BA, I don't mean and I don't refer to Bachelor of Arts, huh? For we all know that we're in dire need of people and young folk, especially with degrees. And those who have reached this educational milestone. But no, Shalom, I'm not. I refuse to parrot what another pastor, Jasper Williams, said. I'm not referring BA to born again degree. We need to, we ought to be, we have to be, we must be, as the Bible said, born again. But no, I ain't talking about that. And I know ain't is not a good usage of the word, but ain't is good gospel. Huh? Because if you ain't been born again, you're going to end up in hell. Come on, help me here. By BA degree, and this is according to Branch. BA is when you have a but attitude. Huh? Everything is but. You know what? Some people specialize in reciting verbal buts. He's a good preacher. I love my wife. She can sing real good. He's talented. But don't you all know one thing? There are two sides to every coin. But, you see, has a positive aspect as well. And you know, all of us have a but on our character. Huh? Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Shiloh, allow me to point out that whatever condition the child of God might be in, we all have a but not to comfort ourselves with. The case might sometimes be bad, but not so bad that it can't be as good as it was. It could be worse. You see, the scripture says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. One songwriter picked it up and said, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a light from heaven filled my soul. He filled my heart with love and he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I heard another songwriter say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Yeah. Can I testify to you, Shiloh, this morning to give you my testimony? I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking going down for the very last time, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, hey, by the sparing craft, from the waters he lifted me up, put me on a street called straight. Now, safe am I. I'm going to close and tell you one more thing about but. I've had many tears and sorrows. Even had questions about tomorrow. There were times when I didn't think it was going to even make it through. But in every situation, God gave me, oh yeah, yeah, blessed consolation. He let my trials come to only make me strong. But through it all, through it all, learn to trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. And I want to know this morning, is there anybody in here who's graduated? Anybody here this morning who's learned how to put your trust in God? I don't know how you feel about it this morning, Shiloh, but I'm blessed. No, no, I'm better than blessed. If you're blessed, you ought to help me encourage somebody in here. Turn to somebody and tell them I'm blessed. I might be broke, but I'm blessed. Might have heartache, but I'm blessed. Blood pressure's got a mind of its own, but I'm still blessed. But wait a minute, Shiloh. Can I bother you for just a little while longer? Some son of Adam or daughter of Eve knows that they are not only blessed, but better than blessed. And if you are better than blessed, you ought to high-five somebody right now. And tell them, I'm better than blessed. I'm better than blessed. I'm sufficiently blessed, supernaturally blessed, and blessed by the best. Matter of fact, the Lord is blessing me right now. Somebody ought to say it again. I'm blessed right now. Yeah, yeah, I don't know what he's done for you. I don't know where he's brought you from. Huh? I can tell you where he's brought me from here. I went to Afghanistan a couple of years ago, and I've seen some things that in war that I hadn't experienced in the two previous wars that I've been through. But I can look right now to tell you where God brought me from. I don't know how you got over when you should have been under. I don't know how many storms you've been through. I don't know how many tears you had to shed in the midnight hour. I don't know how many burdens you had to bear. I don't know how many of your bills are passed through. And I'm not even trying to get in your business. I don't know how many times you had to walk the floor all night long. I don't know what type of pain you've had to endure. No, no, your pain might throb your heart all night long. But can I tell you something? But you don't know. You weren't there. You don't know when. And you don't know where. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. But because he woke me up this morning, clothed me in my right mind, started me on my way, I know that that is a blessing. But all of all the things, Shiloh, that I do know, I know that nobody but Jesus died on the cross for all my sins. Nobody but Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin. But had it not been for Jesus, we would still be lost in our sin. And one of these days, when this life is over, we're going to see King Jesus face to face.
and we'll be able to thank him for all that he brought us through. We'll be able to thank him for everything that he's done for us. But most of all, when I was over here in my sin, he saw where we were. He dispatched angels every time we were living in our sin. But now that I'm over here, we can look back from where the Lord has brought us from. I wonder if anybody in here, Shiloh, has got a testimony as to what the Lord can do. Somebody has had cancer in their body. Somebody is suffering with diabetes. Your blood sugar got a mind of its own. But God's grace and his mercy woke you up and started you on your way. When it's all over, when it's all over, we'll see him face to face and thank him for all that he's done for us. Glory be to God today. And I want to leave you with this. Lord, whenever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. No, 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 don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. No, 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 don't do it without me. The part I like. Lord, when you're healing, healing in this season, please don't do it without me. No, 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 don't do it without me. Lord, when you're blessing, blessing in this season, please don't do it without me. No, 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 don't do it without me. I need your touch right now. Don't do it without me. No, 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 don't do it without me. Oh, don't do it without. Just tell him, don't do it without you. Don't do it without. I need your help, Lord.
Don't do it without.
Only you can touch my body, Jesus.
Don't do it without me.
No, 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 don't do it. Do it without me.
God bless you, Shiloh. In the beginning, I said that all of us have sinned and come short of God's grace and his mercy. The Bible says all have sinned and come short. And maybe somebody might be at the point of that fork in the road where the forces of the world are saying, go this way. But God is saying, come unto me. And maybe in your life you're saying, well, preacher, I don't know which way to go. I got a but for you on that. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Church today, and you never confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we offer Jesus Christ to you. The Bible is replete when it says, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You may come as a candidate for baptism. You may come by Christian experience. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. You see, everybody in here has been at that point in their life where they had to make a decision of whether to live as they were and end up in hell, or to live and be resurrected with a life in Jesus Christ. Well, praise God today. Praise God today. Hallelujah. Is there another? The day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Amen. Go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for.